Madam Chair.
And Director Kirschman, any luck getting? Okay, very good. Then we will revert back to item number 7 and 8, as I believe Mr. Kirkus is has entered both petitions for today.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. So I believe we do have Mr. Cherkis online now joining us. And so there's two petitions in your commission book here, commission package. One of them has to do with non-resident trapping opportunities, and the second one has to do with a coyote bounty in the Black Hills. Madam Chair, my recommendation would be is just to take these separately and take the action, whatever the commission decides to do on them individually. And so if that works for you, we'll start out with the first one, which is agenda item number 7 in your package. Again, the descriptive change here is to give non-residents the same privilege as residents. And maybe before I make any comments, Madam Chair, if we would turn it over to Mr. Cherkis so that he could address the commission on this particular petition, and we'll go from there. So
very good. Yes.
If that works, Mr. Cherkis, if you can hear us, if you wouldn't mind, introduce yourself and go ahead and address the commission of your reasons and rationale for submitting the petition on non-resident trapping opportunities.
Yes, I'm online if you can hear me now.
We sure can. Thank you for joining, sir.
All right. Thank you for taking the time to hear my petitions. regarding non-resident equal opportunity here, I think the main issue is that there is a late start date for non-residents for bobcat trapping. Residents start on December 26th, and I think non-residents have to wait until January 11th. And then on the spring muskrats, non-residents cannot trap muskrats, I believe, from April 1st until the fall, which eliminates their ability to come over and, you know, address the big muskrat population in northeast South Dakota in the spring, where they're the best time to catch them. So the reason for this request, I've got a couple reasons. One, I believe South Dakota is losing out on a big economic potential opportunity of having some non-residents come in the spring. There's a lot of interest out there, especially there was, you know, about 10 years ago when the muskrat market really picked up. And those muskrats obviously do cause a lot of damage and need to be managed. And, you know, for that season, I think it just makes sense to give the non-residents equal opportunity to come here and address that problem. And the late start date on the cats, you know, I've got family from other states that would be interested in coming over and doing some trapping with me. And of course, a lot of people have vacation over that, you know, Christmas, New Year's time frame, and it would currently it prohibits them from doing that because, you know, their license wouldn't start until, you know, January 11th. The other issue with that late start date on cats is most states around the country are becoming reciprocal, meaning if South Dakota limits non-residents coming in, that they will also potentially limit South Dakota residents going there. And a particular example where I would like to go is Idaho, and Idaho does have reciprocality. So if I want to go to trap cats in Idaho, because South Dakota forces non-residents to start 2 weeks later, they would force me also to start 2 weeks later in Idaho. So, you know, for me, it's those reasons and just really a matter of fairness. I mean, there's hardly any trappers in the state anyway, and I don't think any non-residents are going to impact, you know, starting at the same times as residents. Any questions?
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Cherkis. Any questions from the commission before we hear from Director Kirschman? Seeing none, we're going to hear from Director Kirschman now, and then Mr. Cherkis, if we have any additional questions afterwards, please stand by.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. And appreciate the comments brought forward by Mr. Cherkis and his petition. This is a conversation that has happened and has occurred numerous times over the last multitude of years. Again, it comes down to some of that social conversation, again, between residents, non-residents, opportunities that are provided here in South Dakota for our resident sportsmen and women in comparison to non-residents. We've had conversations about non-resident and resident turkey hunting opportunities, big game opportunities. And here's an example of one as related to trapping opportunities. I do know that Mr. Cherkis mentioned in there, you know, one of the things to having trappers out there and to help with to address some issues is muskrats and the damage that can occur, especially on roads, especially when we have high water conditions, high muskrat numbers. Right now, we're not in one of those scenarios in the northeast part of the state. In those years where we did have really high muskrat populations, as Mr. Locken and Mr. Whitmire can talk about, there certainly was damage, and we had many individuals out there trapping. And at that time, there was also a very high market or value on those muskrats as well. And some of you may recall the conversations about quote unquote muskrat wars, about the number of trappers fighting for spots within road right-of-ways and other locations to trap them. So there is a long history surrounding trapping as well between residents and non-residents. And what I can tell you and share with you is what we do hear from our resident trappers, no different than our resident hunters. They do believe that there should be additional privileges granted to the residents and taking advantage in those opportunities for the fur bearer resources in South Dakota as well. Our current structures are set up where there are longer seasons for resident trappers versus non-resident trappers, as Mr. Cherkis was alluding to as well, whether it's bobcat, muskrat, and some other ones out there. And again, those have been items that have been placed for quite some time. And so there's always been those conversations around that. I do know in hearing from our resident trappers, they're always concerned about that next big spike in fur values, for example, whether it's muskrats or other ones. And what does that mean? Will that be a big influx of non-residents that they are then competing with for those resources out there? And trapping becomes a different conversation because there is some value conversation there as well when you're starting to talk about the furs and when those markets are at higher levels. So they do express those concerns. And I would also share with you right now, our current structure, what we do here in general is that it seems to be working very well, and it seems to be fair from the perspective of our residents and what opportunities are provided to our non-residents. So when we look at this whole conversation, and knowing what we've known and learned from past experiences, we bring the recommendation to you to leave the current structure as it is between the residents and non-residents. We do provide opportunity to non-residents. It is more limited than what is available to our resident trappers, but there certainly is some opportunities for non-residents to come into South Dakota. We understand we've had many conversations over the years about reciprocity as well and what that means in other states. But when we look at the grand scheme of things, we believe that the current structure in place is in general serving everyone fairly well based on where we are today and the conditions that we see out there. So last thing I would offer to you, you know, oftentimes we hear from other organizations when we do have petitions come in. I don't know how many of you were spoken to last night. I was contacted by the president of the South Dakota Trappers Association here in South Dakota. They saw this petition, certainly caught their eye and their attention, and the president expressed concerns to me. But I think he did reach out to some of you commissioners as well and had that conversation. So, Madam Chair, members of the commission, I bring forward to you our recommendation would be denial of this petition, and ask that you would deny it and continue to move forward under our current season structures for residents and non-resident fur bearers and trappers in South Dakota.
Very good. Thank you, Director. Any questions from the commission? Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Bartling. Director, do you hear from other states regarding reciprocity issues in their states, as Mr. Cherkis mentioned?
Yeah, Commissioner Bartling, I personally have not heard anything in recent years. Typically what happens, as Mr. Cherkis alluded to, we might hear from an individual or two that has interest or desire to go trapping in another state, and then those reciprocity issues kick in then and might provide some limitation or some restrictions of what availability they may have in another state. But in respect to hearing from other states, at least in recent times, I have not heard anything from other states.
Additional questions, comments from the commission? Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah. Commissioner Whitmire. Yes, yeah, so just I guess, into the details on a petition itself. We have to either approve as is, or, there's no modification. And with all privileges, I think that even complicates this predator program. I think there's just a number of trapping activities that I wouldn't want to touch, changing the non-resident resident. I guess I can't support this petition.
Additional questions, comments? We do need a motion from the commission and a second to move forward on this.
I would move to deny.
Move to deny by Commissioner Whitmire, seconded by Commissioner Beese. Any additional comments or questions on the motion to deny? Seeing none, all those in favor of denial say aye. Aye. Those opposed? It is denied. And we thank you, Director Kirschman, for that information. And Mr. Kirkus, we thank you as well for bringing this petition forward. I know we have another one before us now.
Yes, Madam Chair. So the second one is agenda item number 8 in your package. Again, Mr. Steve Cherkis brought this petition forward as well. This one has to do with coyotes in the Black Hills, and his petition brings forward the request of establishing a bounty of $100 for coyotes in the Black Hills. And so, again, Mr. Cherkis, I'd turn the microphone over to you to share your thoughts and perspectives on this particular issue with the commissioners.
Yes, thank you. I have one question, if I may. Can you tell me, Director, how many non-resident trappers had licenses in the prior year?
Madam Chair, yes. In respect to that, over the last couple of years, it's been on an average of about 5 to 6 of non-resident fur bear licenses that are purchased for here in South Dakota.
Interesting. Thank you. Regarding the petition for coyote bounty in the Black Hills, I'm a landowner down here in the Southern Hills. I've got 234 acres. And actually, right before this meeting, one of the reasons I was a little late, I was just getting a coyote I got on my land here, trying to keep the coyote numbers at bay. And the numbers have been going up every year. And a big part of that reason is that there is no fur market on coyotes, hasn't been for several years. And therefore, people hunting them, calling them, trapping them, just aren't doing it much anymore. And with that, their numbers are going up, as you can imagine. As a landowner down here, that's impacting me. It's impacting the deer fawns, the elk calves, it's impacting the turkeys in a big way. And something that you might not think about that it impacts. And as a trapper here that is out there all season trapping, it really impacts the bobcat kittens. Probably other than rabbits are the biggest thing that affect the bobcat population. You got rabbit numbers, you got cats. Doesn't really matter how much pressure you put on them. And the rabbit numbers have been coming back. They bottomed in about 2019 here. And the rabbit numbers are looking good. But every year that I'm out there, I see the predation. I see the coyotes going after these juvenile bobcats, those cats that are less than 2 years old. I see it in the snow. Every year I'm out there trapping these. They try to run them down and kill them. Sometimes they're successful. In many cases, the cats climb a tree and get away from them. But there's just a lot of damage that these coyotes are causing. And right now, we're just not putting any pressure on them in the Black Hills. And that's why I requested this petition. It's a lot of work to go out there and really hit the coyotes hard. And that's why I requested a bounty of $100 per coyote. I think it's possible that we could easily take, 500 or more, maybe 1,000 coyotes out of the hills every year, which could really help all these populations of the bobcat kittens, the fawns, the turkeys, the elk calves, to help them to where they're more productive and a lower rate of mortality. Anybody have any questions on that petition?
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Cherkis. We'll hear from Director Kirschman at this time, and then we'll come back for questions.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And again, thank you, Mr. Cherkis, for bringing forward this petition as well. Certainly a conversation and the conversation around coyotes and the impacts on other wildlife populations that they can or do have out there. And we understand the concern about the continuing growing numbers of coyotes out there all across the state. It's not in just one location in the state. We do know that there are a lot of individual sportsmen and women out there that have taken a higher interest in coyote hunting, coyote trapping. We've made it very liberal and easy for coyote hunting and trapping across the state. It's a year-round for here in South Dakota, whether it's hunting and trapping, just by definition of coyotes as well. There's been a lot of concern about coyote numbers and what that means for deer populations, turkeys, as Mr. Cherkis said, and certainly they have a bearing on there, and they're an impact or one level of impact on different populations out there, but there are other factors that play into population impacts as well. From the perspective of what's happening with coyote control out there, certainly as an agency, we do a heavy dose, if I may, of coyote removal across the state through our ADC program. But that one is more specifically working with landowners who are dealing with depredation on specific livestock, whether that would be cattle or sheep, really focused in targeting those animals that are doing that depredation work. But we also know that there are a lot of individuals out there that have become more engaged in coyote removal too. The continued growth of thermal imagery and thermal opportunities and doing that, coyote calling has become more and more popular as well with individuals and organizations. And so I think in general, a lot of folks see the need, the interest of more coyote removal across the state, and we're seeing more and more participation activity happening on that. Certainly from coyote harvest, there is no limit. You can harvest as many as you can, or you're capable of harvesting. They are not an easy animal to harvest either. One of the smartest critters that run on the landscape out there. They're chased once, shot at once, whatever it might be. They learn their lessons very, very quickly, and they are not an easy animal to hunt and or trap. A lot of people do that. From the perspective of a bounty program, specifically in the Black Hills, one of the first things that we talked about internally that would be a challenge if a bounty program was implemented for coyotes in the Black Hills is, how do we confirm without doubt that they're coming from the Black Hills? There's a lot of coyote removal that happens from outside of the Black Hills as well. And so that could be a challenge just from the standpoint of verification and enforcement of that, when you limit it to a geographic area such as the Black Hills. Don't disagree that removal of more coyotes may have an impact on wildlife populations, but from the administration of an actual program, that becomes a real challenge just to confirm and verify those things. And another part of a bounty program, especially at the level of 100 per animal, it's not something that we have set aside within our budgetary process at this moment, or those dollars available to set aside for an additional bounty program such as that. So again, we certainly recognize and understand that coyotes have an impact on different wildlife populations. We encourage folks to get out there and to hunt, trap coyotes across the state, not just the Black Hills, because we know that it can have some level of impact, and we're seeing more and more people become engaged in that. We will continue to be advocates of that and encourage people to do that. But based on a couple of those reasons that I provided to you here, our recommendation would be to deny this with the challenges that would come with implementing a bounty program specific to the Black Hills for coyotes, and ask that you deny this petition as it's written.
Very good. At this time, any question from the commission? Mr. Cherkis, if you would like, would you have any follow-up before the commission takes action on this item?
Yes, I would. Thank you. In regards to the amount of activity of people hunting and trapping coyotes, picking up, that really ain't happening. There is no market for them. I know several hunters that used to be taking, you know, anywhere from 30 to 100 a year, aren't even doing it anymore because there's no value in it. I used to take 50 to 100 coyotes trapping out of the Black Hills a year myself. I don't do it anymore because there's no value in it. So the only thing I manage is my own land. So their numbers are going up, and without a fur market or a monetary value on them, they just ain't going to be harvested. Yeah, there is a little bit of interest in the thermal with that capability that has been liberalized with the department, you know, so that it's no longer just private land. I think you can do it possibly on public land. Not quite sure on the rules on that. I don't have a thermal rifle myself. But the impact is there. I see it as a landowner. It is there, and their numbers are going up. The coyotes are worse on the bobcats than the lions are. I've never had a bobcat killed by a lion, and I've caught many hundreds of bobcats. I have had them attacked by coyotes, and I see it every year. So there is a need for this. I understand maybe there's no budget for it now, but it's something that I would urge you to consider for some time in the future to think about. And I do realize that it could be a bit of a hassle to implement a verification program, because who knows if that coyote came out of the Black Hills or not. I understand that. And I also realize that you have, I think, what, 18 full-time people trapping coyotes throughout the state outside of the Black Hills, I believe. I don't believe that's in the Black Hills, is it?
Director Kirshen.
Madam Chair and Commissioners, in respect to our wildlife damage specialists across the state, we have 28 within our agency, and they cover every county within the state. So they work with landowners wherever we receive the request for service of depredation, which would include in the Black Hills as well.
Very good. Thank you. Final thoughts, Mr. Cherkis?
That's it. Thank you.
Very good. Comments from the commission and or questions? Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, Commissioner Whitmire. Yeah, I'd like to thank the petitioner. I mean, this is a discussion that happens regularly amongst commissioners, amongst landowners, amongst anybody that's out and about. Is that concerned? We talk about mountain lion or mountain goats out in the hills and not even being able to, you know, bounce back enough in their population to where we can actually have a season or anything to, you know, share that with the public. But, and a lot of that, you know, is coyotes, and that's no one's questioning that. It's just, it is, as the petitioner mentioned, it just be tough to regulate where those animals are coming from. And, you know, are you able to somehow verify, and the problems of doing that, getting submissions, especially at $100, that would just, I'm afraid it would entice a lot of people to, you know, kind of stretch that, because, as mentioned, the fur market just isn't there, and that $100 would be pretty significant. So, yeah, I guess I, for those reasons, great idea, great way to look at it. It's just, I'm afraid that I just don't see it working out well, and just riddled with some verification issues.
Additional comments from the commission? I, too, wanted to thank Mr. Cherkis for bringing this forward. It did provide a lot of conversation between some of the commissioners, as I think many recognize your intent with this. However, with the information that was brought forward from the department in terms of a funding source and verification, I, too, am going to lead towards the denial, but I think this lifts up the opportunity to have additional conversations. And so I do thank you, sir, for bringing this forward to the commission. We do need a motion and a second. Move to deny by Commissioner Bartling, seconded by Commissioner White. All those in favor of denial, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That petition is denied, and we thank you both for bringing the information forward so we can make a decision today.
Madam Chair, thank you for your due diligence and commissioners on these petitions. We will work here over the next couple hours to draft up resolutions to address these two petitions and bring that back to you later in the meeting for your action to pass those resolutions for your denial motions.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And with that, we